When I was a little kid, my mom taught me a song. I don't think she made it up. In fact, I think there was a little cricket that sang it, a little cricket by the name of Jiminy. Cricket that was in that movie called Pinocchio. But it was a little song that taught children how to cross the street. I don't remember how it goes, but I remember the major words were stop, look, and listen. And the only part of the song I remember is at the end where it says, give a little listen, give a little listen. You're glad I'm not singing this morning. But anyhow, it reminded you that when you came to the street, the first thing you needed to do was stop and look both ways to make sure there weren't any cars coming. And then to listen to make sure that if you didn't see one, you didn't hear one. That was especially true at night if somebody forgot to, you know, turn on their headlights. I lived in the day before they had automatic headlights that turned on. You had to remember to turn them on. But stop, look, and listen. Three good words to remember to make sure that you made it safely across the street. And I'll be honest with you, to this day, I may not sing the song, I may not, remember how it goes, but before I cross the street, I stop, I look, I listen. And I was thinking a couple weeks ago that wouldn't it be wonderful if God gave us three little words like that to help us live our Christian life. And I came to the conclusion that he had done exactly that. There's three simple little words that if we could get into our hearts and minds, it would help us live the Christian life in the way that he wants us to live it. And so this morning and tonight, I'm going to preach on those three words. Those three words I submit to you are come, follow, and go. Come, follow, and go. And because I couldn't get all of it into this morning, I had to divide it in two. I hate to do this because the Sunday morning crowd sometimes needs the messages that I preach on Sunday night. And I thought about cramming it all together, but then I thought you might not want to stay here till 12:30 on Memorial Day weekend. And so I split it right in half. This morning I'm going to preach on the word come, and then tonight, and I hope you'll be back, I'm going to preach on the other two, follow and go. The Christian life starts with a decision to come. The Christian life starts with a decision to come to Jesus Christ. We hear the gospel. We hear that we are all sinners. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. In that same chapter, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us can look around and find somebody that's a worse sinner than we are. But the Bible says, don't compare yourself to somebody else. Compare yourself to the glory of God, to Jesus Christ, that revealed glory from God. And when we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, we see that we fall far short. And so every person falls short of the glory of God. Every person is a sinner. We hear the gospel that there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Being separated from God, as Adam and Eve were when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. That is the wages of sin. Then hearing the fact, the reality, the good news, however you want to say it, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty that we owe. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not when we got better, not when we turned over a new leaf, not when we cleaned up our life, but when we were yet sinners and all our righteousness in God's sight were as filthy rags, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says that if we decide to come to him, that he'll save us from that penalty. He'll give us life and he'll give us eternity in heaven. And so the Christian life starts with that decision to come to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning, every single person has enough faith to do that. Every person has enough faith to make the decision to come to Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And he has dealt to every single person. You say, oh, preacher, I can't get saved this morning. I don't have enough faith. When you say that, you're calling God a liar. Because he has dealt to every person, every man, every woman, every teenager, every little boy, and every little girl. He has dealt to every person a measure of faith, enough faith to believe the Bible when it says you're a sinner. Oh, and by the way, I think you can believe you're a sinner whether you believe the Bible or not. All you got to do is look in the mirror. And if you're married, all you got to do is ask your spouse. They'll help you. You'll see that you're a sinner. So every person has enough faith to believe that they're a sinner. Every person has enough faith to believe this book when it says there's a penalty for sin. And by the way, again, whether you believe the Bible or not, it only makes sense that a holy, righteous God can't be associated with sin and has to separate himself from that sin. But every single person is dealt a measure of faith, has enough faith to believe that they're a sinner, to believe that there's a penalty for that sin, and to believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross and on that cross paid what we owed. That's where faith comes in. I can believe that I'm a sinner, and I can believe that God has every right to punish sin, whether what this book says or not. But when it comes to the fact that God loved me so much that he sent his son to die in my place, a wretched, dirty, filthy sinner, and that God would send his perfect, pure, sinless son to die in my place, that's where the measure of faith comes in. Because you see, from a human standpoint, that does not make sense. I can believe from a human standpoint I'm a sinner. I can believe from a human standpoint that God has every right to punish sin. But there's nothing in my humanity, there's nothing in my mind that can comprehend the love of God that sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross in my place. I take that by faith. I take that because this book says it. I believe it. And God says, if you will come to me, if you will come to Jesus Christ, he'll give you life. He'll forgive your sin, and he will save you. So it comes down to this. You have to decide to come. It's a decision that you have to make. I can't make it for you. I wish I could. I wish I could. For every person here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I wish I could decide for you this morning that you're going to come to Jesus Christ. I can't do that. It's a decision that you as an individual have to make. It's a decision that nobody else can make for you. And as you consider, if you're here this morning and you've never come to Jesus Christ, as you consider that decision, I want to point a few things out to you. I want to point out to you, first of all, that the Father draws you to come. He draws you. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." Jesus said, "Nobody can come to me unless the Father draw you." Now, I want to tell you something this morning. The Father draws everybody. He is not selective. Well, I'm going to draw Michael, but not Bob. I'm going to draw Terrell, but not Jeff. That's not how the Father works. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he not only deals to every person a measure of faith, but he draws us all to come to Jesus Christ. Not only that, I want to point out to you that not only does a Father draw us, but Jesus invites us to come to him. We read it in our scripture reading this morning from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Who's invited to come? All those that labor. All those that are trying to find peace with God some other way than through Jesus Christ. All those that are trying to work their way to God. Down through the ages, this has been the case of man. We have denied the grace of God. We have denied the gift of God. And we think we have to work to get right with him. It started with the very first person that was born to human parents. It started with that young man called Cain. After Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, God set up a system of how man was to approach him, and that system involved blood sacrifice. And here was Mr. Cain. He was a farmer, and he tilled the ground, and he planted his crops, and he took care of them. And when it came time, when they were ripe and ready to harvest, he went out and harvested his crops. And he brought an offering from the fruit of the ground to God, and God said, "No, I can't take it. You work for this. The only way for you to come is with a blood sacrifice, with something that you did not create, that something you did not work for." And Cain said, "Well, I put my sweat, the sweat of my brow, into this produce or into this fruit or whatever it was." And God said, "No, I'm not going to take it." Cain was trying to work his way to get right with God. And there are people in this room this morning that are trying to do the same thing. Say, "Well, if I'm good enough, or if I do something, or if I don't do something else, or if I join some people think they can work their way to God by getting baptized. Some people can think they work their way to God by taking communion. I think getting baptized is good after you get saved. I think taking communion is good after you get saved. But none of those, none, not baptism, not communion, not good works, not joining the church, none of those things will make you right with God." That's what that verse says. "Come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye that are working to get your way to God." The Bible says it's not of works. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Come unto me, all ye that labor, trying to work your way to God. And who's invited? Those that are heavy laden. Those that are heavy laden. Heavy laden with their sin. You see, sin gets heavier and heavier. Hey, Nick, come up here for a second. Help me. Just stand right there. We're going to let Nick represent the sinner this morning. This songbook's going to represent a sin. You know how sin starts? Starts real little. One little lie. One little bad thought, one little place we went that we shouldn't go. But sin doesn't stop there, because one sin leads to another. It's a little bit heavier. And then that sin leads to another. 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 Everybody bring your books up here. No, just. You see, when Nick was just carrying one, it's sort of like you've heard the story about a frog hopping into a pot of cool water, and somebody didn't notice, or he didn't notice, the frog didn't notice that somebody turned on the fire. It got a little bit warmer and a little bit warmer and a little bit warmer, and pretty soon you had boiled frog. Well, that's the way sin starts out. It starts out with one little sin. And then that leads to another and to another. And it happens gradually. And it's not until we beam the light of the gospel down on the sinner and his sin that the sinner realizes what a load they are carrying. Hey, you know, when I was a sinner, before I got saved, I thought I was a pretty good guy. I didn't realize. And yet when my pastor started talking to me and the gospel light shined, I saw the heavy load that I was carrying. And that's who Jesus invites to come. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Heavy laden with the weight of sin. Oh, and by the way, if we're not careful, we as Christians get caught up in this same thing. You see, we sin. We can sin as Christians. And that sin sometimes leads to another one, and that sin sometimes leads to another one. But we have 1 John 1:9 that says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We can get rid of them all. I mean, we're not going to pay the penalty that's associated with sin. But can you imagine, wouldn't you rather walk around in your life like that than as a Christian walk around like this, carrying all these sins? Get rid of them. Thank you, Brother Nick. So who does Jesus, not only does a father draw us to come to Christ, but Jesus invites us, and he invited those that labor and are heavy laden, and notice what he says. He says, I want you to come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Me, Jesus. Me, the Son of God. Me, the way, the truth, the life. Me, the only door to the Father. Your mom and dad love you, but they cannot do for you what Jesus can do. Your grandpa and grandma loves you, but they cannot do for you what Jesus can do. Your pastor and your Sunday school teacher, we love you this morning, but we cannot do for you what Jesus can do, because if you come to him, only he can give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Salvation. You don't have to work anymore. You don't have to struggle to try to find peace with God. All you got to do is come to Jesus, and he will give it to you. He'll give you salvation. He'll give you that peace with God. He'll give you that purpose and meaning that every sinner is looking for in their life. And on top of all that, he'll give you heaven. 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 Now look, we don't work to rest, but after we get that rest that he talks about, then we want to work, like the Sunday school lesson was talking about this morning, because of the love of the one that gave us that rest. I don't have to work to keep my salvation, and I didn't have to work to get it. I don't have to work to keep it. But I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:10. And so, yeah, I work after I get saved, not to keep my salvation, but because I love the one that gave it to me. So Jesus invites us to come. Not only that, I would remind you this morning that not only does a father draw us after he gives us a measure of faith, not only does Jesus invite us, but the Holy Spirit invites us to come to Christ. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit says, come. The Holy Spirit, that part of God that resides in every Christian, that part of God, that God the Father draws us, the Holy Spirit woos us to come to Christ. And he visits sinners. And every visit that he makes to sinners, he says, come. Come to Jesus. Come to the Savior. And the Holy Spirit tries to get us to understand and realize that it's only reasonable for us to come. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Holy Spirit comes to every sinner, and he is talking to you this morning if you've never accepted Christ. And he's saying, let me reason with you. Let's just reason this out. You were made by God. You were made by God. You just weren't born by accident. You were created just as much as he created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He oversaw your conception. He oversaw your birth. You are here this morning because God wants you here. You were made by God. And God loves you. And God wants a relationship with you. And your sin has messed up that relationship. And when you could do nothing to fix the relationship, God did something for you. For God so loved the world, he so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all you have to do is come. Let's reason it out. God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. Your sin messed it up. When you couldn't fix it, God fixed it for you. And he's done everything that's necessary. All you have to do is come. Isn't that reasonable? I think some people would think it's more reasonable if God would have said, it's going to cost you $15,000 to get saved. Or you got to join the church and be a member for 15 years. Some people say, well, that's more reasonable. That's not how God works. God paid the price. There's nothing. He paid it all. There's nothing that we can add to it. All we have to do is come and receive what he did. And so the Holy Spirit says, come. But not only that, not only does the Holy Spirit says, come, the church says, come. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the Bible says, and the bride says, come. The bride is the church, not the building, the people. The called out assembly that make up the church. And every person here this morning that has come to Jesus Christ, every single person here this morning that's a Christian, they would say to you and are saying to you in their spirits, and probably some of them have said to you in their words, you need to come. Amen. They would tell you, hey, there was a time in my life where I was just like you. I was a sinner and I was trying to work my way to God and I was burdened with sin. And one time, there was a day in my life, and they can probably tell you who it was. There was a day in my life when somebody told me how much God loved me and somebody told me what Jesus did for me. And they would tell you, I came, and oh, it was wonderful. Words can't describe it. I can remember the night I got saved. I can remember walking out of church. I can remember walking into the springtime air, and the moon never looked brighter, and the air never smelled fresher. And I had a joy in my life that I never had before. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was on my way to hell. But when I knelt down and I asked Jesus to save me, something changed. There wasn't anything like it, and there still isn't anything like it. And there's nothing like it when you come to Jesus Christ. And so every Christian that's here this morning would say to every sinner, I used to be like you. I was weighed down with my sin. I was working to try to get right with God. But one day somebody told me about Jesus, and I decided to come. And there ain't nothing like it. There ain't nothing like it. You need to come too. So the bride says, come. The bride says, come. And coming is the only way to get life. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You see, Jesus will not sentence us to death. We sentence ourselves. He said in John chapter 5, verse 40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. He said, all you got to do is come, but you won't come. All you got to do is come and get life. I'll give you life if you come, but you won't come. And so by not coming, you are choosing death. And it's that simple. I don't know how to make it any simpler. You come to Jesus Christ. Receive what he did for you as he paid for your sins. And get life. Or you don't come. And you die in your sins. And you're separated from God forever and ever and ever. So, come. Come. Why won't you come? God made it so simple. He's done everything that needs to be done. The only thing he's left for us to do is decide to come. And that's how we get life. I'm going to ask Adam to sing this morning for our invitation song. Hopefully he's standing out there so he can hear me. The song that says, come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy in the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Come, every soul, by sin oppressed. That's every person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's mercy in the Lord. And He will surely give you rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't you have a desire for that this morning? Wouldn't you just like to know that your sins are forgiven? That you are at peace with God that made you? Nothing better. Nothing better. And all you got to do is come. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making it so simple. Thank you for doing everything that was necessary. And all you left us was to just come. Just come. I pray for every person this morning that's never done that. I pray that they would come. They would see their sin. They would see the price for that sin. They would see what Jesus did for them on Calvary. And this morning, in simple childlike faith that you've dealt to every person, they would come. Ask Jesus to save them. I pray for all the Christians that are here as we've talked about what led to our salvation. Help us to rejoice. Help us to never get over the so great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to make some holy vows this morning as Christians that we're going to tell somebody what happened to us. We're going to use this holiday weekend to share our faith, to share our Savior, to share heaven with somebody else. And so, Father, I ask you to bless this invitation. I pray for the sinners. I pray that they would come, receive Jesus. I pray for the Christians that we'd be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.